Yeah, I think if he had a chance to stay in the game as close as the game was and just the effort from the rest of the team, I think they would have had a chance to win it on the floor, which, or on the road, which would have been kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was really pulling for Indiana, darn it.
Yeah, I was bummed I missed it because I was out, but I was out doing something that needed to be done.
You're out scouting?
Mm-hmm.
How'd it go?
Real good.
Did you find any deer? Did you actually lay eyes on any deer?
What was your guess?
Yes.
You say I saw a deer. Okay.
I'm going to say a deer, but I don't think you saw any bucks.
You both are wrong. I didn't see a single deer. But I wasn't looking for deer.
Yeah. You're covering ground?
Just covering country.
How did it feel being out in the unit?
Really good. Really good. Gets me excited.
Give you the lay of the land. You kind of start to figure it out. And
saw some deer tracks. Saw some buck tracks. So they're there. Because what do deer have to do all the time? They have to walk somewhere, and they always leave a little piece of the puzzle on the ground. They can hide, but they can't get rid of their tracks. They haven't evolved that yet to like brush away their tracks after they walk through something.
Have you been reaching out a bunch?
What?
Have you been reaching out a bunch to just folks?
I put a few feelers out to some folks, yeah. And getting some intel slowly but surely, and put out 12 trail cameras.
Nice.
This weekend. Put a lot of miles in my truck, scratched the hell out of my truck.
Brady has a brand new truck. Have you seen it?
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard about the new pickup.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's still, I got it in January, but it's definitely still brand new. And yeah, my four-wheeler's broken. So I haven't fixed that yet. It's probably an easy fix, but just haven't done that. Wasn't expecting to draw the tag of a lifetime. And then, one road.
Did it hurt your heart to put some scratches in your vehicle?
Yeah, because I was hoping to make it a trailhead princess truck, even though
you were?
Yeah, it's made for hunting. That's why I get trucks for hunting. So, yeah. But I wanted to make it new for a little while longer, at least.
I kind of see it both ways. It's like the first time you really put some good Rocky Mountain pinstripes down that thing, it's like, okay, I can feel okay about it. It's broken.
Yeah,
I could be a little bit harder on it. I mean, reality is it's a work truck, right? That's how I look at mine. It's
the thing that makes me mad, though, is like it could have been avoided if I had the four-wheeler. And I also was avoiding it earlier because like I put two trail cameras out and I hiked like 7 miles to put two of them. And probably 4 of those miles were on a road where I could have got a truck further down or like a four-wheeler if I had my four-wheeler with me. So that was making me really mad. Knowing like I'm hiking on road that I could have taken a vehicle down, but I was like trying to baby my truck.
Did you take a chainsaw?
No, I had some saws with me to like cut the brush a little bit. And so I did that on a few sections. And then there was one that was like, I think I can make it. And then I did it and I was like, ooh, and then it scratched really well. And then I got on the corner like, well, now I can't back up because like there's no way to turn around any of this area. So I had to keep going. So like, it looks like there's about to turn around up there. And then another area was two giant choya bushes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Choya forest on each side of the little two track, and that we'll say that put a lot of scratches on my truck. And I had Choya stick like they embedded into plastic on the side of my truck, which is
that sound going down the side of your truck's unmistakable, huh?
Yeah,
like I can hear cringe. It. I can hear it in my mind as you say it.
Yeah. So it's now like, I'm trying to contemplate getting the scratches buffed out. So anyone out there knows any way to do it myself, I'll definitely do it. I've done it before my old truck, but I don't think I did a really good job. Or most likely right now, I'm probably going to wait till after the hunting season to do it. Because I guarantee you, I'm going to probably put some more scratches in it.
You can do it every year.
No, but like the thing is, though, like anything around here, you know, the Southwest, just brush wants to kill you. Everything has thorns. Everything wants to attack you. So it's like I just need to learn to like, I don't know, park my truck and get my four-wheeler fixed and do that. So it's like a mistake that could have been avoided if my four-wheeler was fixed, but who knows? If I was hunting, I would probably do some stupid things and definitely get it scratched. So it's a hunting truck.
Yeah.
But I wish it would have been like at least a year old before it became a full-on hunting truck.
I think you just converted early.
Yeah.
Get her scratched up. Let some dust in.
It's broken. That means it's broken in.
Just
it's like the first. It's like the first time you drop your bow or your rifle and get a scratch on it. Like, yeah, it stings a little bit, but then it's like, okay, now we're into it.
I know. And you're just like, yeah, nothing I can do about it now.
Uh-huh. It's always easier when it's not yours, too.
Just keep going.
That is true.
Well, we're lacking Lorenzo today. He's out today, so we invited a special guest. We got Nate Bear on the podcast.
Back again with the boys.
Nate Bear works for us here at Go Hunt. What's your official title? Remind me.
Insider lead or insider plus lead and research expert.
Okay, gotcha. You live in Wyoming. We've had you on before back in January, I want to say.
Yeah. February.
Back at Expo.
Was it February? Yeah, that's Expo. Right. Man, time of summer's flying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Crazy. I was thinking about July 4th is coming right up. And usually by July 4th, I feel I'm into the summer. I'm ready for summer. And then I'm making plans for the fall and stuff. This year just feels like it crept right up on me.
I'm tackling with it's that time of year where up where I live, you only have X amount of time to get certain projects done, especially outside. So now it's shit. Now we're creeping up also on weekends to get stuff done that I want to get done.
Yeah.
But it's also time to start looking for things too. So
I had big plans of tearing out my front yard and redoing the sprinkler system. I need to put a pressure regulator off the main line. I was going to trench it and, do sod in the whole nine. And then now I'm into July and I'm looking at my calendar and I'm well, I'm gone in July quite a bit. Maybe I can just get it by, we'll get to it again. Hopefully my wife doesn't listen to this because she wanted that pretty bad, but we'll see how it goes. So we're going to talk Insider Plus today a little bit more. I want to find out how the first year, I think we're through application season. We had Wyoming draw results for deer and antelope just come back. Yep. I got my unsuccessful results from Arizona for me and my kids yesterday while I was talking to Brady on the phone. And so I pulled those up and checked. So those were unsuccessful. I talked to a buddy of mine last night and I was like, oh, what are you doing this year? And he's like, man, I've drawn so many tags this year. And he starts reeling them off. And I was like, holy smokes. He's having a banner year. And then my kid, I was driving home with him on the way, and he's like, you ever had a year like that where you just drew a bunch of tags and all these opportunities? And I was like, man, I can't remember. I don't think so. But I haven't drawn a whole lot this year, but I've still been able to make plans. So we'll talk with Nate about that because I know that's kind of the business that you're in is playing the tag game, draws, and all the systems and everything else. We also wanted to do an update on the public lands, land grab. I'm going to call it a land grab.
It's good.
The big, beautiful bill.
Yeah.
Triple B. We'll touch on it here in a second. It's pretty quick moving, and I think we're recording this on a Tuesday. I think we might try to get it out tomorrow because it's moving so fast.
It's changing.
It's changing quite a bit. It's
changed from last night, changed from yesterday. Yep. During the morning, already today it's changed again.
Yeah, it's rapidly moving.
We should just drop it and stop touching our public land.
Yeah, seems to be moving in a good direction. I don't know that it's foolproof, but it does sound like it's moving in a positive. So we'll discuss that. One of the questions I had is just where is this thing encased in? What is this big, beautiful bill? I didn't know as much about it as I probably should. I kind of wanted to understand that as the process moves along and what are the next steps and what are the deadlines and what's going to happen. So I spent probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours this morning and then a bunch of time yesterday just kind of reading through the process of how this all works. And if you're a bit of a moron like I am, I think you might have some questions about how this whole thing is processing and how it all works. So I had some questions, and so we'll dive into those here in a minute. But that's kind of the agenda. Hit me with a promo, B-Mills, before we get going.
I actually want to compliment Paul on his promo last week. That was
Tall Paul. Yeah, Paul, he did pretty good, didn't he?
That was pretty good.
I know, and I put him on the spot. I just was Paul, hit us with the promo, and he was like, yep,
yeah,
reeled it off.
So I'll hit the folks with the promo right now. I was just looking, working on my Idaho article here in a little bit. We have some more return tag sales available on Thursday morning. So
Thursday.
So if you don't have an insider membership, well,
what tags will be on that list?
You got your return non-resident elk and deer tags. So there's actually,
is there any tags that are returned from the controlled draws?
No, not yet. These are just, the general season ones for non-residents. So there's actually a pile of elk tags and a pretty decent amount of deer tags.
Is the list out?
Yeah.
So it's out.
Yep. Yeah, comes out 2 days before.
I haven't even looked at it yet. I should jump in and take a peek.
Yeah, I got a tag to return to. So
yeah, I have one. I wonder if I could exchange it, maybe just move it up the chain. But
yeah, so I'm turning it in based on my crazy season with that special tag I drew. But anyways, you need an insider account to do some research.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have one, you should get one because there's a lot of tag opportunities like this, second chance stuff, secondary draws at, you know, leftover tags popping up all the time. And you want to be able to research those units, figure out if that's a good unit to pick up to go hunting this year, if you and your buddies or just yourself. So an insider membership will help you do all your research. You can not only look at unit profiles, filtering, get a bunch of information there, but then you can jump into Go Hunt Maps and see where that public land lies in that unit to see if it's a unit that you want to hunt. So use promo code podcast when you sign up for insider membership, and we'll give you $50 back to the Go Hunt gear shop.
Nice.
And then use it e-scouting. Use it throughout the fall. I mean, I'm already thinking about 2026.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. We always say that all the time. We're always thinking about the next year. But yeah, there's a lot of things I want to do next year when I don't have a really crazy awesome tag, because those don't come around very often. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Then I wanted to note also, we have the 4th of July sale going on. So that's the 23rd. So just started.
Started yesterday. Yeah.
Started yesterday. And that runs through the 7th of July. I haven't jumped into the gear shop to see what's available, but typically there's some good deals on some great stuff. And it feels like that time of year where a lot of us are trying to ramp up, put our gear and our kits together and try to pick up a few items that maybe we want to either upgrade or we're just lacking. So I think now's a great time if you want, you're looking for a deal to
also
to jump at the gear shop.
We should point out, I think last year on the same time we mentioned, probably a great time to stock up on food, like freeze dried, dehydrated stuff.
For sure.
And then we're like, get it now. It's going to be the cheapest most likely. And then also there's a lot of it. And I walked back in the warehouse the other week and like we do have a pile of like dinner type food back there.
That's the first thing I just noticed when I looked at the shop and what's on sale is...
Yeah, a lot of Peak Fuel's on sale. But like last year we said, make sure you stockpile up ahead of time. Don't wait till last minute. And then you and I both were getting ready. I can't remember what we were doing last year, getting ready to go on some hunt.
Have you bought any?
No.
Me neither.
And then we were frantically trying to find stuff at Go Hunt. And we were like sold out of all like the good flavors.
Yeah.
And so like, don't be us.
You end up eating the same flavor day in, day out.
Yeah, yeah. Stockpile now. And they don't.
Chili Mac.
They'll last for another 30 years. So might as well buy them. Ton for the next 5 years of hunting.
And there's some good flavors.
Yeah, there's some new stuff all the time.
Yeah, I saw one the other day that I thought looked pretty good. It's like pepperoni pizza bowl.
Yeah, the pizza bowl.
I'm like, come on now, that sounds incredible.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, who doesn't crave a piece of pizza when you're
cheesy beef enchilada
backwood? Oh, that sounds amazing too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have to do some shopping today on my way home.
Should.
Yeah, get some food stockpiled.
Yeah.
I doubt that I will. I almost guarantee you that before I leave on a hunt, I'll be like, huh, I wonder what's available. yeah, bummer. Anyway, yeah, check that out through the 7th, 4th of July sale. You guys should be seeing some ads here pretty soon going out for this sale. Have you seen some of them?
I saw Lorenzo's.
See the one with Lorenzo's.
They kick it off. That was pretty good. I saw the comments too. Did you actually ramble that all off in like one take?
Seems
like it was pretty good. Like,
yeah, I wrote the copy for that, but I remember sending it over to those guys and being like, I think he's probably going to have to like legitimately rehearse this. Like he's going to have to memorize it. And I don't know how you would, because it was such a bizarre,
just a random and not just like stop and start laughing.
Yeah, I know.
We should get Nate doing that, like recreate that same ad.
I was on the plane last night when I saw it, and it was in a scenario where I couldn't have my sound up, or I was in the airport or something, and I kept telling myself, I need to go back and watch this, and I forgot about it, so I'm going to do that.
Yeah, you got to turn it out.
But yeah. I just remember Joe Dirt references and his outfit.
Yeah.
Pretty funny. Yeah, look for those. Those are good. All right, should we talk politics? We're a policy politics podcast.
Yeah. Let's do it again.
Yeah. Man, I guess my gut is like, I hate talking politics. I like politics. I wouldn't say I like politics. I follow politics because I find it interesting personally. I hate talking politics. You know, I get into politics. It gets just, I don't know. I don't like the way that it makes me feel. But, I mean, we do have to talk about it a little bit. How do we attack this?
You know what I find crazy about the whole thing is you really learn the resiliency of these dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. You see the wave
of politicians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see the wave of people like us that are like, you know, and flooding phone lines and sending emails like crazy, but they're still trying to find some sort of avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, when, you know, because you always wish, like, when are they finally just going to close the belt, or, you know, close the book and put it in the shelf or put it on the shelf, right?
Yeah.
They never do. They keep going.
Yeah, and it keeps coming up. I was listening to a little piece on the radio on the way down. They were talking about Mike Lee. Obviously, we're going to talk Mike Lee because he's kind of the champion of this portion of the Big Beautiful Bill. But prior to him, you had Jason Chaffetz, who was also kind of a land-grabbing politician, mm-hmm. Very similar types of views and legislation. And in reading through, what I can gather is it's not likely to go away. It sounds to me like it's something that will be potentially reoccurring in the future. I think obviously if we can have a positive outcome for public lands through this round, it's going to deter, you know, them expanding and trying to push it through in the future. But I don't think that this is like a lot of issues that we face right now in the West, right? You're talking, you know, Colorado, we talked a lot about lion hunting. We've talked about trapping, you know, wolves expansion, mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff. I don't think it's going away. I think it's just going to continue to be pushed. And
somebody has an agenda somewhere mm-hmm. that they're just going to keep trying, adjust this, adjust that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should just figure a way to prevent public lands from ever being sold. Is there a way we can do that across the board?
I don't know.
We thought they were there now, right?
But yeah.
Yeah. It seems asinine that you can actually literally do this.
Yeah. One thing for me is, I think I've taken it completely for granted. Granted that I have public lands. I think I was talking with my youngest kid maybe a couple of weeks ago. I don't know how the subject came up. We were just talking about America, and I mean, obviously politics is, you know, everything that's going on right now, it's on all, you know, the news and everything. And somehow we were talking and he was like, "Oh, what do you like about being American?" I don't know how the question came up, but he's like, what's your favorite thing about being American or this country? And I can pretty much say that as I sat and thought about it, like one of my very favorite things about America and being American is my access to public lands. It's like the freedom that I have to go out on this land and like make my own adventure. Like I don't have to ask for permission. I don't have mm-hmm. to worry about like skirting boundaries and, you know, the what ifs and all that. Like I can find these giant expanses of public land that I can go out and pursue whatever adventure it is, whether it's hunting or fishing or backpacking, hiking, shed hunting, whatever it might be. I can go out and just like enjoy these public lands without fear of anything going on, you know? And it really is like legitimately probably one of my very favorite things about being American. It's like really freedom for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course that's like something like I really value. So it means a lot to me, but yeah, it's something that people across the world, they don't necessarily have or have access to. You know, I lived in England for a couple of years and it's not public land. Like you can't go out and go hunting, you know.
It's not the same thing as like state park or, you know.
No, national park even.
Yeah, I was going to say even the ones that we got here, it's just it's mm-hmm. not the same. Yeah. You can't just go shoot things or go fishing or whatever.
It's funny too. Sorry, Brady, you get to jump in, but if I don't say what I'm thinking, I'll lose it. So I'm going to say it, but I hear all these comparisons from people that are saying like, "Oh, we're not touching national parks." Like I've heard that rhetoric over and over, like, "Oh, this isn't a national park. These aren't national parks. So we're not touching these." And
my response was take them.
Yeah. to me though, that just shows like a complete disconnect.
Yeah, I think national parks are public land, or like the most important thing to.
But a national park to me is like not public land. It is, but it isn't. It's not like I don't want to go to Zion. I like Zion's great, Bryce's great. You know, grew up in those areas. I've visited them multiple times, and it's fun to visit and see like, you know, these incredible views and the scenery. But it's not the same. No. Like I feel completely different about a national park versus national forest or BLM that like I can go out and roam and hunt. You know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
you're handcuffed to a set of rules. You can go camp, you can go fish, you can go hike, but the freedom behind a national park versus anything BLM or Forest Service or anything else, that not even close.
Yeah, I get sick of that. It's just like this disconnect. It's a disregard. It's like you don't really understand what it is that this means to me and people like me. You know,
that was one of the coolest things too. Was typically when we get on a rant or a rave about something like all the Colorado stuff and whatever, we've only got like us, I'm the hunting community, the outdoors community, this and that. What I've noticed circling around this bill, the Big Beautiful Bill, and I hate that fucking name, by the way.
Thank you for saying it.
The big.
I think it's silly. Yeah.
So Everybody's passing around that I've seen, like on social media, from your hikers, people that have nothing to do with hunting mm-hmm. whatsoever. All the overland community,
RVers,
yeah,
ATVers, yeah,
everyone banded together.
Which was cool to see, because you realize mm-hmm. it's not just us that uses it. And there's what's cool is maybe some of those other communities have a bigger voice than we do. Maybe they might have the same voice, but it reaches a different demographic, mm-hmm. right? So. That was cool that to at least see was like everybody yeah. is coming together on this one.
You guys seen the memes from like Step Brothers, you know, where they're high-fiving each other and they're like, did we just become best friends?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, you know, the yeah. hippie hikers and yep. backpackers, yeah. backcountry skiers, rock climbers, and then, you know, you have hunters, your yeah. your fishermen and hunters. But
we're all in it together. I saw REI was commenting on a bunch of like hunters' posts.
Mm-hmm.
Like saying, hey, we have this thing, make it easy to blah, blah, blah. Do this to make action against, you know, the sale of public lands.
Yeah.
Like REI is going all out and commenting on Hunter's post because, mm-hmm. yeah, we all are in this together.
The other cool thing, I think it's, and I think it's going to have to become the new norm. I think it's unfortunate that we've had some legislation like we had in Colorado and a bunch of other issues that kind of united the sportsman community, where people felt like, oh, this is real. And like this potentially like really affects me as an individual. And so I'm going to jump in and I'm actually going to send an email. I'm going to call a senator. I'm going to, you know, leave a voicemail or hopefully get to talk to an aide. But, it's kind of lit like, you know, a fire under people's butts. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sucks that it has to come to that, but I don't think that it's going to go away. I think it's going to become the new norm. It's just cool to see that we can collectively like get together, you know, yeah. like a guy that wears Kuyu and a guy that wears Sitka, like they both can send an email, you know, or they can call, yeah. they can call, you know, a state senator. But, I think that's great. I think it's been really cool to see the response. You know, I think it's meaningful. It's having direct impacts, I think. So
and the more though, I just hear about all this stuff all the time. I just feel like, and yeah, I'm blanket statement this, but like everyone is in politics and be like a dirty snake.
Yeah.
Like slimy little dirty snake, like you think you can just pull this over and do all this and like no one's gonna care, and then saying like, oh, we're gonna make it so it's 5 miles outside of towns, and you know that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like they don't realize what public lands mean to everyone.
Yeah, because whoever's really good behind it has the pockets to soak it up and buy it up.
Yeah, you have all so these like underlying things that are probably going on behind closed doors. It's like that's just dirty. The shit is dirty, dirty, dirty.
But they feel entitled that they can do that.
Yeah.
Like they feel like they have the right to do that. And it's just, it's
my gut reaction is that, yeah, I agree with you because that's what I value, right? Mm-hmm. My values are mine and I value these things over those things. And I try to take a step back sometimes. And I'm sure that what they have to do is a super complex job. Like I certainly do not claim to understand the ins and outs of politics and the role that it has in running a country on the grander scheme, right? If you mm-hmm. look at this bill, I mean, maybe this is a good time to jump in, but it's a massive reconciliation bill. So essentially what the big, beautiful bill is, the whole thing is it's reconciliation. It's money. It's fiscal, right? So you're mm-hmm. talking making Trump's 2017 tax cuts permanent. It's allocating additional funding for border security. It's increasing the Department of Defense. It's scaling back Medicaid and SNAP benefits, limiting tax on tips and overtime, change state and local tax caps. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's like completely folded into this giant, big, beautiful bill.
And I
don't claim to have an understanding or have a breadth of understanding of how this all works in conjunction with each other. I'm sure that they have like an extremely complex job and, you know, Mike Lee, I disagree wholeheartedly with what he's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily believe that his intent to take this land and then convert it to affordable housing is pure.
It's bullshit.
I don't believe it. I think it's a lot of it's rhetoric, right? Now in saying that, like, is there a housing shortage? Is it really hard right now for young people to have that American dream of owning a home? Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Totally is. So like there's some logic in the things that he's saying. I just don't necessarily believe what he's saying, but mm-hmm. And I don't think it's the right answer to solve the problem, right? I think there's other ways that you could do it. There's programs, there's you know, Flipma and all the other ones that you probably you've heard other people mention, but, I don't claim to think that like it's easy. I don't know that they're like completely dirty, but some of it is.
No, seems they're like dirty.
You like they're dirty. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, on certain subjects, yeah, certain matters, I think, yeah, there's probably some truth to it, but, do you want to dive in and talk about where it's at right now?
Yeah.
Like kind of what's going on with it? Okay. So where's it at now? So I thought this was interesting. I kind of wanted to understand like what is the process of this thing. So they say that if this big beautiful bill, if they can get it to a point where it's passed this Byrd ruling, which we'll talk about here in a sec, they actually get language in the bill that they think they can take to a vote, that they'll run it through a vote. And AIDS, news is reporting that essentially it could start as soon as tomorrow, which would be Wednesday. It could be like a 20-hour debate, or longer, potentially. It would run, Wednesday, Thursday, and maybe potentially even into Friday. I'm reading that they're saying they are willing to just like stay in the office, do everything it takes to get this thing to a vote and hopefully passed through the Senate. And then they would have to kick it back over to the House, where they would take a vote and go to the president for signing. Basically, the time frame for this that Trump is saying, he wants this by July 4th, which seems like an extreme time crunch to me. So that's kind of where it's at. So it'll go, it could potentially go to vote as soon as, tomorrow or Thursday, and then, be debated heavily, obviously. And then could potentially be pushed through and then try to get it to Trump's desk.
You're talking about the whole bill in general.
I'm talking about the whole bill in general. Yep. So in order for this thing to move through the process, it had to go through this thing, this process. My understanding is they call the Byrd ruling, right? So we saw Randy talking about it a little bit today, but essentially, the Byrd ruling is you have a parliamentarian. So it's this individual who their job is to go through the entire bill, look at it, and say, does each part and piece of this bill or this package, does it actually work, right? Is it legal for what this bill is trying to do as a whole? Now, the news today that we were made aware of kind of as I woke up and I was driving down here was that Mike Lee's portion of this land grab, if you will, was deemed it just didn't fit within the bill. So the Byrd ruling, they basically said, this doesn't fit, this doesn't make sense. So we don't want to really necessarily move forward with it as part of the bill, because if it goes through with it, it gets to the Senate, we don't know that it will pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Trump is being very bullish, like he wants this thing done and dusted. So in saying that, my understanding is that Mike Lee, at this point, basically being told the way you have this written and proposed is not going to work. You're not going to get that through. It doesn't fit under this Byrd ruling, right?
Yep.
So my understanding is he has essentially three options. One, I believe that he can have the vice president. The vice president could overrule the parliamentarian, leave the language as he's proposed, which he did change it recently. We can get into that here in a sec. And say, no, that fits. It works. It's legal. It's going to go through. Or two, it's not the chair. It might be the chairman. It's not the chairman. What's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, the head of the Senate. So essentially the person that's like overseeing the mm-hmm. the whole thing, right? What's his name? Thune, maybe. I can't remember. My bad.
Close enough.
Yep. Anyway, he's from South Dakota. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so basically he could overrule the parliamentarian and say, now we're going to leave it as is. Or we could remove it completely. Or he could potentially change it and get it to a point where they think it's like, okay, that they could run it through the process. So I would say like yesterday, we probably saw some foreshadowing to this, that it was going to happen, because Mike Lee kind of started to change his stance, kind of change his proposal a little bit.
I think he's just lying like a politician lies. And
yeah.
I don't believe anything he says.
So he did change his kind of the language, which I thought was kind of interesting. This is from a tweet, I guess, they released via X. I'm going to read it. So basically it says, thanks to you, in capital letters, the American people, here's what I plan to do. Remove all Forest Service land. And then he says, we are not, capital N-O-T, selling off our forests, which I think is interesting given the fact that just a couple days ago,
he was all for it, that was completely on the table.
Like we were going to sell a bunch of forests. Let it go. Yeah. So it's funny to him, to me, that he would take such a bold statement with a capital, not, we are not selling off our forests. Like, well, 2 days ago, it was totally cool, but
there's
now,
trees on BLM too.
Yeah.
You know?
Now it's not. Second bullet point, he says, significantly reduce the amount of BLM land in the bill. Only land within, capital again, capital within, 5 miles of population centers is eligible.
What determines a population center?
That's what I was wondering.
And it could be anywhere. Like it could be two houses. Like, is that population? So 5 miles around that?
Where I live, there's a shit ton of big deer that winter around 1 to 5 miles of populated areas. So
yeah, and I don't know what that means. I mean, I grew up in Anemone, Utah, and I think the population was like 150 people, maybe 180. Like, is that a population center?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how you would define population center.
And that's winter range habitat. We're talking around towns.
And I'm sure if you were to ask him, he would say, you know, don't be ridiculous. We're talking about major, you know, metropolitan areas. You know, my neck of the woods, he's from Utah. He's probably thinking cities like St. George that are growing, expanding. He's probably talking Cedar City, where I'm from.
Look at Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
5 miles outside of here, there's fucking big deer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to sell that? 5 miles outside of Salt Lake. There's big deer.
Well, they've already tried it here too, and all they did was put in giant fucking homes instead of affordable housing.
Yeah. Like 5 miles is a long ways outside of, no matter how big the city is, 5 miles touches animal habitat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not on board with any of it. Like, I just don't want to see any of it go. Third bullet point, establish. This is probably my favorite. Third bullet point, establish freedom zones, capital letters, freedom zones, to ensure these lands benefit American families.
Freedom zones.
What do you think a freedom zone is?
Sounds like something crazy that you, some like TV show, like, oh, some freedom zone or like, an, I don't know.
Sounds like a place where they're going to dump all the squatters.
It's like the ball crawl at McDonald's or like Chuck E. Cheese's. The freedom zone. I don't know.
Anything goes in those zones?
Yeah. I think, man, the thing I think is kind of hilarious about this is that I feel like anytime that there's a politician and they, you know, they need to, especially right now under this administration, like if you need to try to gather some sort of support or you need to try to save face, if you will, there's like certain buzzwords that you can throw out. So usually Trump's one of them, and I'll get to that here in a sec. But if you back Trump, right, like I'm going to throw that in there. And then the other one's like freedom zones. So I thought it was interesting.
A politician playing on words. Imagine that.
Yeah. I don't know what a freedom zone is, but I think that was kind of funny. And then the fourth bullet point, which I think is somewhat interesting. He says, protect our farmers, ranchers, and recreational users. And then full sentence, they come first.
But what does he not even mean?
I was going to say, I'll hold you to that one if that's the fucking case. But if that's the case, get rid of that 1 to 5 mile bullshit.
Yeah. I think it's, yeah, I mean, it's rhetoric. I think it's strange that you would say protect our farmers, ranchers, and recreational users, and then they come first. Because obviously they don't come first. Because that group of individuals, those people, are the loudest voice fighting against this.
Yeah.
Recreational users, whether we're talking backpackers, hunters, you know, you can list them out. I would say that this is not in their best interest, nor would they consider themselves being placed first in regards to the way he's looking at this legislation. So,
yeah, once we lose these public lands, you are never, ever, ever, ever getting them back.
And it's going to snowball. So if you give them a little chunk, they're going to keep going for more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So our best interests, so yeah, my ass.
Yeah. The other, I heard a phrase that he used in regards to public lands that he thought should be available for sale. He referred to them as garden variety, which I thought was interesting. I was just like, oh, garden variety public lands. Like, yeah, it's just, you know, you're any old ordinary public lands. And I think, to me, again, it just goes back to this disconnect. It's like, I look at public lands as like, yeah, I don't care about it. It's just garden variety, right?
Yeah.
It probably comes from a person like him who's, I'm again spitballing, but maybe has never been on public land and enjoyed public land or recreated on it, and it never had a value to him. It was just like he thought it was just shit land.
Yeah, and I just think it's a disconnect. Like, it's just this disconnect, and I think you see the same thing when we talked about Colorado and all the issues that they face. It just, you have the voting majority that lives in these metropolitan areas like Denver and Boulder. They're just, largely a lot of them are just disconnected. Yep. They're disconnected from what that means for somebody else, you know? So, me, I mean, there's no public land is garden variety, right? It's all cool. Like, yeah. it's an opportunity for me to go have an adventure and explore and hunt and fish. So,
well, you can use Nevada as a reference. I mean, most people don't even realize what's here in the state.
Sure. Right?
They drive to Vegas. And to some people, there ain't much to see out there. You go for a walk, guarantee you're going to find some cool shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's like me looking at whitetail hunting and being like, oh, that's just garden variety hunting. Like, you're going to sit in a tree stand and, you know, hope that a deer walks by. But you start talking to some of these guys and you see how invested. It's like their lifeblood, right? Yeah. They love it. To me, it doesn't make total sense because it's not really what I'm used to and familiar with. But when you talk to somebody like that, you understand the passion in it. You understand the amount of effort and work that goes into to hunting those animals. And when I read things like garden variety, when I read things, you know, like he said that like they come first, I feel like he's essentially dismissive of me, of my personal views and my values. So, I will say, I think Mike Lee, has a potential to come up for reelection in 2028. And I mean, if I'm completely honest, if there's a better choice, vote his ass out.
Yeah.
I mean, right now it's coming down to no matter what, he's probably going to be vetted out.
I don't know.
People are pissed.
I don't know. It's Utah. You never really know. But interesting. So that's kind of where it's at. I mean, that's an update on it. I would say, you know, this bird ruling is a good thing. I would say that regardless of, you know, if it's kicked completely out of this bill, because the rest of the Senate, they look at it, these different committees or the House, they're not the House lead, but the lead, if they look at it and they say, we don't think we can actually push this bill through with this language in it, and they kick it out, that would be great. I don't think it's going away. I think I read somewhere here, I'm trying to find it, but basically I read, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson said he plans to pass two more budget reconciliation bills, each of which would give Lee potentially another shot expanding the scope of possible public land sales. So I don't think that it's going away. And so I guess my plea, if you will, would be don't take your foot off the gas. Keep at it.
Yeah. What's spooky to me is it wasn't, even though we kind of got wind of a small victory possibly coming, it wasn't, it may, you know, I think a large part of it has to do with all the people that did speak up, but it was more so legality that stopped it or put the brakes on than a full-on vote of people saying absolutely not. That's kind of, to me, it would be cool if this ever never even came up, obviously.
Sure.
But instead of like a bunch of people voting no and putting their foot down and saying no, it sucks that a legality is what's stopping this, which is great. But it's almost like that just gives them more room to work around the legality instead of senators saying you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I read this. It says Republicans hold a 53-47 majority in the Senate, which means the GOP can afford to lose only three votes. They can afford to lose three votes. There are senators in other states. So I went back through and looked. It looks like you got Montana Senator Tim Sheehy. He basically said he believes public lands belong in public hands. He opposes the sale. You have Idaho Senator Mike Carapo, After careful and thorough review of the legislation text in the Senate Energy and Natural Resource Committee reconciliation title, he does not support the proposed language to sell public lands. Idaho Senator Jim Risch, he does not support the proposed provision to sell public lands in the bill. So, I mean,
yeah, people against it. They need those and they're against it. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think my take home would be like, keep on it, you know, keep sending emails until we actually see this thing completely ditched.
What's interesting about the Montana one though, anybody look at the map?
Yeah, there's zero in Montana.
Yeah, and I think there's some, again, I think there's politics in it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess all we can really do right now is
keep doing what you're doing. And be polite.
Be polite. Don't tell Mike Lee that you're not going to vote for it. Yeah. I would say, send emails and make the phone calls. So call your state representatives, your senators, and let them know how you feel, where this is going to go to the House. I would say, you know, call your congressman as well and talk to them and just express your opinion.
And this is not just a Western issue. It's every person in the United States can help with this.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the best part about multi, sorry.
Yeah,
about multi-communities too, is luckily this is affecting a lot of people that are west or east of Colorado, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Yeah, like before we even jumped on the podcast, I was like on my Instagram and I was like, oh, even my youngest brother shared a bunch of stuff and he's from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's cool. Making people aware there.
Yeah.
But even what I was saying earlier when you kept going, because you were going to lose your train of thought, because like just recently I was in Florida.
And you remembered what you were going to say?
Yeah.
Man, good on you. I would have never done that.
It's okay. It's okay, Troy. You are a little older.
I am older.
And you do have a new haircut.
I do, yeah.
I noticed that in the last podcast, so congratulations.
Is that a summertime thing?
Yeah, man.
Annual?
I just got hot. Nice. I was like, I'm over this. I'm shaving it. Yeah, so good. Shaved it all off. Speaking, I might stick with it.
So speaking of being hot, so recently I was in Florida for the little SIG Next event that I went to. And just want to talk about like importance of public land. Like even down in Florida, like I was looking for a place to go run when I was in Florida. That's what I do. Pull up Go Home Maps, found some public land that was nearby and went and ran through a bunch of like cool little tree things. Like even over there where, I don't know, I don't look at, you know, how much public land there is in Florida, but I was like, public land is still a value to me, even in a place like that in a, near a big city. I was like, there's public land here. I'm fucking going to recreate on it and mm-hmm. I'm gonna go for a run. Yeah. And it's like cool to be able to do that. And I don't want to not have that ability for future generations to be like, there's a little tiny piece of public land here. Everyone technically owns it. I want to go enjoy it, soak it up, recreate, and have fun. Like, mm-hmm. that could be going away.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and that was a Florida thing, but like, it could go away out west, and then it could transfer to other places out east. Like, mm-hmm. that could happen. Like, yeah. that's scary, and that should piss you off, that you could lose a chunk of ground that you've been recreated on your whole entire life.
Or hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, or never at all. I mean, I've never been to a lot of the eastern states. They don't have a ton of public land, but I don't want them to lose public land either. And I'll probably never visit it. You know, I'll probably never go out there and, you know, hike or hunt their public land. But I think it's cool that they have the opportunity to mm-hmm. do so.
Yeah.
You know, when I look at a map of a state like Kansas, you know, I want to hunt whitetail deer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Really, my options are public land. And so I'm immediately looking at public land. I just don't want to see opportunities taken off the table. And
no matter how big or small it is,
I keep seeing the, you know, the tagline, not one single acre. And I think, yeah, it's right. I just don't want to see any loss in public land. The other thing I would say, I've been reading, you know, a lot of these guys, I think they're like, it's the federal government's land. It's the federal government's land and there's nothing going on it. It's just sitting there. Like, I think that's his opinion. Like, it's just sitting there doing jack shit. Like, nobody's using it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the federal government's. And I think, you know, the federal government gets a bad name, if you will. People love to run down the government, myself included at times. But, yeah. But it's not owned by the feds. It's owned by all of us. Like, it's everybody's land. It's mine. It's yours. It's anybody that wants to go out and,
yep,
you know, recreate on it. So I don't know. I get
Every paycheck, there's a chunk that goes towards
it. Exactly. I get sick of like the semantics of it a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess one other thought I had is if this does go our way, like if we do see this completely removed, which is ideal, that's what I would like to happen. I would say even if that is the case, and it could happen by the time this podcast even goes out.
Yeah.
I don't know that it will. I think there's probably some, you know, within the Senate and the people that are senators, there's probably some means of like they're trying to help him save face, I would think. I wouldn't think that they would want to like completely nix it.
Right.
Just, I don't think that they would want to like shame him or make, you know, him look bad, if you will. So I do think that there's the possibility, probably a high one, I would say, that some form of this goes through. Hopefully that's not the case, but I would say even if it does, I would like my plan, I'm going to reach out again. And if it goes my way, I'm going to say, thanks for listening. Like it actually feels good that somebody actually gave a shit and, you know, represented and, you know, heard us collectively and took it to heart and actually, you know, did, something. So yeah, I would say follow up even regardless of what happens, you know, be proactive in either, you know, saying thanks or saying, hey, this is, I don't feel good about this. Like we got to do something.
Yeah.
And keep on it.
No, that's a good thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of reaching out and saying, hey, we need to fix this. Be like, appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever win we get out of this. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's the update. I know that people have been asking. And
sounds good. Still spooky.
But good.
Yeah.
Definitely some good coming out of it. But yeah, still not the best. any final thoughts on that, B-Mills? You've been hot and heavy on it.
Yeah, I mean, just get out there and do whatever you can. Whether it's sharing things, whether it's commenting, emailing, calling, telling your friends, whatever you can do, just do something.
Mm-hmm.
Stand up for what you're passionate about. Everyone has friends that recreate on public land. It should be on everyone's top of mind that we don't want to lose these. Like I'm generally pissed at the thought of losing anything because, you know, my time eventually going to come to the end on this earth. And I want other people to do the same badass shit that we were all fortunate to do in 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Like we can't lose it. We can't grow more land.
Yeah. Yep. I have another thought. I'm trying to decide whether to bring it up or not, but I'll let him.
I know we're trying to end this segment, but
It's okay. It doesn't matter. It's probably not that important. But
we can talk about like buying land on the moon or something like that.
That's what I'm hoping next.
Yeah.
Get some private land up on the moon. Okay, cool. So we wrap that up. I hope by the time you guys are hearing this, we have something great to celebrate. If not, we'll keep at it. We'll keep going from there. Insider Plus, Nate, how's it going? How's it been?
It's been real good. Had quite a few people since we started this. We launched this, January 1st of the year? And definitely from all walks of life, that's for sure, which has been great because they've all gotten good value of it as far as anywhere from applications to, you know, when people call in and ask more questions about it before like they commit to it, what's great is because now I have a lot of feedback for them of how people are using it. It's not just an application service where you call in and say, hey, I want to go hunt here. Mm-hmm. It's almost tailored to what extra help are you looking for? Because I've got people that I'm working with that they just tell me where they want to hunt, what they want to hunt for. They don't have a whole lot of input except for what they're looking for out of a hunt. Say, hey, here's the keys, go for it. And there's other people that still want me to do all the applications for them. And for a lot of reasons, missing deadlines, different states, we all know, have different rules that constantly change and they just can't quite figure it out. So they still want me to do it. But they have a pretty good plan already put together of what they want, where they want to go, what they want to hunt. then we kind of do it, you know, go through it together, which is great. And there's people that still want to do their applications, but they just kind of want to run through their plan with me on stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people that are strictly looking for the e-scouting side of it. The last couple of weeks have been a lot of e-scouting primary signups. They still want to do all their applications and stuff, but we can still, you know, have chats here come first of year when we get rocking and rolling for 26 on where they want to apply, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So just the variety has been pretty neat. Yeah, it's been fun. Meet a lot of cool people.
Where are a lot of these folks from in general? Are they like a lot of East Coast?
Interestingly enough, they're split about 50-50.
Huh.
And I'm talking anybody from Maine to the Carolinas to Florida, as far east as you can get,
mm-hmm.
to California, Utah, a bunch of Western states.
Do you have any international members?
No. As a matter of fact, one guy that just signed up not too long ago, he's from Florida, but his hunting buddy that he lives with is from Canada.
Hmm.
And he was going to talk to him about signing up. So we might have our first international.
That when we were in New Zealand, we were talking with those guys, and I remember having a conversation with the one gentleman, Monty, the one night. He was just like, yeah, I would love to. It just seems so complicated. He's like, I don't even know how I would process it all, you know?
Yep.
And short of me just saying, well, yeah, I mean, I get it. And if you got questions, reach out. But I think the thing that I overestimate is that I think a lot of cases, people don't even know the questions to ask.
Right.
They don't really even know what to ask, you know?
Yeah. So to add on to that, so those that want either help or us to do the applications and stuff for them, they'll only put down, you know, because when they sign up, they get a form that kind of is a preemptive. It collects the data that I need and what they're looking for as far as what to hunt. And we have all the states listed that we offer, and which is a bunch. But they don't know anything about them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times I only get maybe two states on a form, but I've come to learn that in the consultation, there's going to be more. And a lot of people will even put notes like, hey, at the beginning, they'll just say, I got a question about a bunch of these states, don't know what's worth it, what's not, don't know enough about it. If we can, when we jump on to go through it, let's talk about them all. And we do. And yeah. I give my opinion on, and it's the opinions I give about should you go for this state or not like that, it depends on what everybody's looking for. So everybody's different. Everybody's answer is different. Yeah, it's been pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I had a dime for every person that DMs me and asks if they should apply for moose, sheep, and goat in any given state, and it's their first year, how many years is it going to be until they draw their permit? You know, I could buy some stuff.
Yeah.
I could buy an acre of public land, probably. No.
One to 5 miles.
Yeah, out. 1 to 5 miles.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, people, I think they look at it and they're like, oh, Colorado. Yeah, hell yeah, I would love to hunt Shiras moose in Colorado.
Yeah.
Yep, check yes on that one, right?
Yep.
Or, you know, they look at some other state and it's just, Wyoming's a great option. You're from Wyoming, right?
Yep.
Oh, I would love to hunt bighorn sheep in Wyoming. I'm definitely checking yes on that one.
Yeah.
Reality is probably not ever going to draw that. Yeah. And unless some laws change, you know, or some allocations change, or we just figure out some way to produce a bunch of sheep, like you're never going to draw it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those types of questions are really important because...
Especially when non-residents do like a points only on a sheep.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
In Wyoming, don't ever do
that. Yeah. Well, I got 3 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going to build, give yourself a chance.
Yeah.
Don't ever just build, you know, because at that point, yeah, you're right. There is no shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Point being is that there's so many complexities of that. You have to like have a daily working knowledge and understanding of all that and how it works in order to make a good decision, which it's really hard to do if you're, especially if you're just getting into it. And even if you are really into it, like if you don't live it and breathe it day in and day out, it's really hard to grasp how it all works in conjunction with each other.
Yep.
I was thinking today as I was prepping for this podcast and I'm reading all these articles about politics and bills and all this stuff. And I thought, man, you know, it'd be great if like I understood this in the way that I understand, you know, what this is not my wheelhouse, but that's our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Right.
It's even like when I was down in Florida for a wedding that I was down there for, I was talking to someone and they're like, oh yeah, like they've heard that I do hunting stuff, like work in the hunting industry. And they're like, oh, doesn't like take forever to actually get tags out west? Like you're waiting 10, 15 years. And it's like, that's the perception they have. And they just throw that blanket statement over everything. And it's like, they don't realize that there's opportunities they can go on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like they could plan a hunt with some buddies and go next year. They could probably go this year. They could do all this stuff. Like it's just a perception. Like they just don't know the ins and outs as well as, you know, service like Insider and Insider Plus. Like if you have that available to you, call up Nate and be able to talk to him. Like if you can actually find a plan to go hunting next year and at the time of your life, if you're from Florida.
Yeah.
And even just if you don't understand how the states work and you're skeptical or nervous about or overwhelmed is a good word that most people are. Even when I go through and we talk about each state, you can put together a plan almost on the spot as far as, you know, not to the specifics of, hey, we're going to do this unit or this unit, but you can put a multi-year plan together based on how each state works and gives people a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of people that I deal with that are looking for maybe a hunt a year, especially if they're from the East Coast, right? So they understand that they might have to do 3, 4, maybe a fifth state, maybe. But really, 3 or 4, if you play your cards right, you can turn and burn those and build.
Yeah, and go hunting.
For the future. And a lot of people don't realize that until I start kind of explaining how this works, how that works. Yeah, we can do this here or do that here. And they're like, damn. Like, okay, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. That's, you know, but they didn't. They don't live it and breathe it. They might come out west once every couple of years.
Yeah. Don't know what you don't know.
What's been interesting is I would say probably most of the East Coasters are all hunters. They're not first timers, meaning they've all grew up hunting and this and that. I've noticed, and I wouldn't say the other half, I would just say a handful on the west side are pretty brand new. A lot of brand new people.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty damn cool.
Right. Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah. I can't really recall anybody from the east side that is brand new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all grew up hunting, you know, whitetail this or that. Or
they just want to come out west.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for something cool.
Yeah.
Not that whitetail's not cool. I mean,
yeah.
We can go down that road a little different. But,
we're kind of through app season. Yes. I would say for the most part, right?
Pretty much down to points from here on out.
Yep. So you kind of, you know, the members that signed up for Insider Plus, you've kind of guided them along, applied them. Did we draw any tags for folks?
We did. We drew some good antelope tags. We drew some good elk tags.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to call anybody? Have you talked to anybody that's drawn?
I did. Yeah, they either beat me to the punch or depending on what was going on. I mean, text, phone calls, stuff like that, and everybody was pretty pumped. I had one guy spook me just a little bit because he sent me a text and said, thanks for making me buy a muzzleloader. I went, wait, what?
Yeah. And
I dove back into his profile, and I'm going, holy shit. And I looked through the reg because I know, you know, that's – one thing I'm very meticulous about is hunt coats.
Yeah.
And so I went through and I dug through it, and it was one of a hunt note on Idaho where it was like short range within this area. Mm-hmm. Pretty much if you're in the middle of town, you can't use it.
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately hit him back. I'm like, no, that's a rifle. That's what we wanted. That's right. Oh, okay, cool. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
One guy drew an odd dad tag in New Mexico.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, he was pumped as shit. He goes, damn, you're my lucky charm. I said, well, don't go that far.
Yeah.
I said, if you looked at my draw history, it sucks. But yeah. No, it's been pretty sweet. People have been pumped. And, of course, you get the phone calls that come in, you know, hey, when can we schedule times to, you know, start going over some maps? And
That was going to be my next question is, so we're kind of through application season. You've obviously done applications for a bunch of people. you know, people have drawn permits, or maybe they're potentially looking still for an opportunity, whether that's like an over-the-counter second or third rifle tag in Colorado, or, you know, an elk tag in Utah. I know those go on sale here pretty quick. What benefit do we offer for that person? Like, you're through app season. Like, what are you doing now? What kind of calls are you getting now?
So there, I've gotten some calls from some members looking for some more what ifs. We had a couple that we turned back some Colorado tags. We're looking at some other, you know, we drew some second choices that we thought, well, why not? Mm-hmm. You know, something came up. They either got another tag or turned them back. We're looking at some of the second draw stuff because we got Colorado out right now. Wyoming's out right now. And then I had a thought. What was your question?
Just what's next? Like, somebody draws a permit, like, what value do we offer for those people?
So the one thing that's a little difficult, the one thing I can't really do, I can help people, like, as far as we've had people ask about Idaho and the Idaho turnbacks and stuff like that. So the guys that have asked for it, I've just shot him an email or a text message saying, hey, the list is out. We touched on it first thing, right? Mm-hmm. I can't jump on for 10 people at the same time trying to get with the way the system is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, obviously, come December, we can play that game a little differently. But, you know, I've had a handful of people ask about the Idaho turnbacks. I'm like, I can't really do that. Yeah. I can pick one of you, but
pull some strings for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a lot of our recent signups have been, they've got tags in pockets. They're not looking for anything secondary. I've put in a couple people for the second draw for Colorado. But for the most part, I've gone over the lists with them of what's available, how many are left. And, you know, some people have been like, yeah, that's all right. We'll just do second OTC or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Wyoming second list is a little sad.
There's not many. I was looking at this week, not many deer tags.
No, there's not a whole lot there. So people have kind of X'd out about it. But now those that have tags and have a plan, we're going over maps, and which has been great because everybody's excited, right? So they're diving into their maps. Then we get on, and for the most part, they come to me with some sort of a plan. Of, hey, you know, because, you know, like I said, they're excited. They're looking around.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
This is what we're thinking.
Is that what you recommend for people? Like, if you've drawn a permit and you're an Insider Plus member and I'm like, oh, I'm going to call Nate. Is it better for them to call you up and say, hey, I've been looking at maps, or just like, hey, Nate, what do you got?
either way, yeah. I think, you know, if you're brand new, it might be a little difficult to maybe get some sort of a plan together, which, you know, jumping on and kind of going on it blind is a good way to learn and, you know, at least share my opinions and thoughts of why or where. You can tell those that definitely have some time in the field. They come prepared. I think it's good. I don't know if one's better or not, but I would say even if you're new or don't know much about a unit, it might be good to come up with a plan.
Have some ideas.
Yeah. Just because you could run it off me and see if it's another way of learning, right? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you're close. Maybe you've got a great idea.
Yeah.
Cause people have shared some maps with me with some waypoints and stuff like that. And I'll get on there before our meeting and I'll look at the unit, and stuff like that. And I'll maybe pick a handful of spots and then they send me their stuff and, shit, they've got 90% of what I was looking at already marked up. And
right.
It's like, you're definitely on the right track. That's exactly what I think. That's the way I'd play it. Day four or five, I might move over to this side and have a look at things, you know, and that's, they're like, yeah, we were thinking about that, you know, and kind of explain why or, you know, why not type of thing. I would say maybe come with some thoughts.
I was just thinking in regards to, like, if you call a biologist, or anybody for that matter, like, if you've done some homework prior to, it feels like it's always a better conversation.
Yeah.
Even if my ideas are completely wrong, even if I'm just like completely out in left field and I call a biologist and I say, this is what I'm thinking, you know, I'm looking at this, I'm looking at that, I'm looking at this access or this trailhead. Even if they tell me like I'm completely wrong, it feels like those conversations, like I get more out of it. Like yeah. if I've done a little prep work, and I'm not saying that people have to, obviously, no. If you don't know, you don't know. Right. But I think it's a good starting point. I think you learn a lot more.
Yeah.
The other thought I had is, I assume that you probably haven't hunted everywhere.
No,
no. I mean, you're, and,
I bet you'd like to though.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I run into this quite a bit because I'll have people reach out and they'll say, oh, I drew this, 221 tag in Nevada, or, you know, I drew whatever it might be. You know, what time have you, I had a guy hit me up today. Hey, I drew this, elk unit in Montana. You know, what do you know about it? And there's a lot of times I'm just like, I don't know shit about that. I've never been there. Like I have never stepped foot in it. How do you handle those?
So
I'm assuming that happens.
Yeah. And I try to tell folks, you know, on our first consultation, whether they signed up last week and they just want e-scouting, I always tell them, you know, off the bat now of, I know a lot. I've been a lot of places, you know, the people that we work, you guys, we've all been in a lot of places, but there's a unit somewhere we haven't been.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's probably one.
Most of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And what I tell them then is I'm going to use the resources I have, whether that's digging through, you know, I've pulled in Dave a lot to either bounce ideas off or help me look at maps. But most of that comes down to either A, what hunt is it? That goes from either weapon, time of year, is it a general tag or is it limited quota? Because then you're looking at pressure and people and... You look at all those aspects and the animal that you're going after, and we can sit down and put a plan together on a specific unit on based on those factors. This is how I would recommend doing it. And looking at the maps, you can see, obviously, you've got all your access and your roads, and I tell people, you know, explain the importance of your access and stuff like that. If it's a heavily hunted unit, it's... You can use that to your advantage. You can find those hide and play site kind of places. If it's not a heavily hunted unit, you're relying more on how those animals work, what you know about the animals, what you would expect them to do, stuff like that. And I've had a couple people that have a newer unit to myself and a newer unit to them, and they're already geared up to at least go look in July or at least go drive around and check roads and stuff like that. Where can you get? And I think that's huge. And from that intel, we can build more.
Yep.
Right. So it's all about starting where you're with what you're working with. Right. And if you know the animals well enough, you can put yourself in a good position to start. So I don't mean to cut you off, but what I'm trying to say is when you're trying to build a plan like that, I try to build like almost like a multi-strategy thing. Give yourself a couple places to look, and then it's all about going out and doing it.
Yeah.
So
that's where my mind goes. I mean, just because somebody hasn't hunted an area, you know, there's a lot that can be gleaned from just having been in the field a lot, like understanding behavior. I had a guy that reached out to me and he's like, hey, I found a bull. I can see him pretty regular. It looks like he's going to be a big bull. My hunt opens this date in September. You know, what do you think my likelihood is of actually getting a chance at this bull? So some follow-up questions, you know, what's the pressure like? Is there cows and calves in the area? You know, where's the water? What's the habitat like? You know, what's the feed like? Where he's at, you know, and then you can kind of start to build a plan based on, you know, my experience in elk hunting and theirs, and together you're kind of like working and kind of processing the problem. And I think you can come up with a really good idea that sometimes it's hard to come up on your own if you're just, and especially if you don't have a lot of experience.
Right.
So, I mean, like that guy, I was just like, I don't have a lot of, I have pretty tough luck scouting bulls in July and killing them in September. Like, it's pretty damn tough. It's not impossible, but it's hard to kill a specific bull. But if I was going to do it, these are the things I'd be looking for. I'd be looking for cows and calf herds. Where are they at? I'd be looking at pressure. I'd be looking at habitat. I'd be looking at water. It's just like, you can kind of help them, you know, to some extent. Again, this was just like exchange messages, and I'm sure I didn't do that much to help, but it is nice to have somebody to
bounce an idea.
Yeah. And then develop a plan. Somebody, I mean, like yourself, it's funny. We talk internally every year, you know, about mapping. So I think we're getting ready, me and Brady. We had to rope Nate into some of these too. Some of these map videos.
Yeah, I did a bunch the other week.
Yeah, we have a full layout of map tutorials, you know, kind of how to's, right? And every year it comes up and I'm like, oh, maps again? Really? Like, we're going to talk about maps again? That's just me. But again, I think if you're not living and breathing it, you're not doing it every single day, it's hard to maybe fully understand the different layers and how they can actually help you make a plan and what you should be looking for.
Yep.
So I think it's cool. It's good. It's good that you have somebody to call up that has the expertise like you. They can bounce an idea off of and say, hey, what do you think? What layer should I be looking at?
Yeah. And if it's something that I truly don't know, I rope others into the conversation.
Sure.
And yeah, one of the biggest things is, what's really great about a lot of units and a lot of maps and stuff like that, you can really weed out where not to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty quickly.
Yeah. Focus on three or four spots that look legit for the time of year, for the animal, for the type of hunt that it is. Then you can have a pretty good idea of how they're going to react, where they're going to go, what they're going to do. And yeah, don't ever pigeonhole yourself. Give yourself a couple options, and if you can look at it beforehand, massive help. But if you can't, then we'll piece together the best plan we can.
Does it sound like most people are interested in just filling a tag, or are they looking for the biggest animal? Because I think, because I've always said through like e-scouting and stuff that like you can, through knowledge and experience, like we're talking about, and bouncing ideas across someone else, or, you know, just general intel of hunting a lot of places, looking at a map, you could really, you can help someone find animals pretty easy. So I could probably look at a map and say, there's going to be mule deer here.
Yep.
Can't guarantee you there's going to be a 180 inch mule deer there. Yep. Most likely there probably isn't, but there could be. But like, if you're trying to find the trophy size, always hard, but I can find where the animals are going to be just based on general animal needs. And so like, I bet guys who just want to fill a permit.
Yeah.
Like, you can help them a lot in just the general e-scouting help portion of it.
I would say
give them good starting points at least.
Yeah, I would say for the most part, there's no real trophy expectation. But I think that I think some of those guys know that as far as based on the tag they have.
Yeah.
And I'll give, that was a good example you brought up, because I was e-scouting with one of our members, and they have a pretty good tag, and they have kind of a quality I would say size in their head. And we were going over the unit, and based off of the hunt plan that he had and some of the additions that I had, and it was kind of the thing based on quality, his original plan, he's going to find deer all day long. And but I told him, I said, okay, I said, day three or day four, if we're still not seeing the quality that we're after, that's what these three waypoints are for over here. Because I have a feeling that if you don't come across them here, all your pressure is in this area. That's why I think you should look over here on this side, because, you know, based off of numerous factors. But yeah, I mean, most are, you know, they know what tag they have, and, and you know, just want to go have a good time and kill something. But there are some. And I've used that and some of the e-scouting of where I think.
You bring up an interesting point. This is, again, I'm just like running through messages that I get, but I had a guy reach out and he said, hey, I think you know this unit fairly well that I drew an elk tag in. If you're willing, you know, to exchange some information, that would be awesome. And so I replied to him and said, what hunt? And he replied back to me with the same unit, like, this unit, this species, right? And I replied back and said, okay, what hunt? Like, what weapon, right? Like, is it an archery tag, a muzzleloader tag? Is it a rifle tag? Is it a late rifle tag, a mid-rifle tag? Because it, I don't know. I think a lot of people probably know, but there's probably some hunters that are newer to the game that different permits, different seasons means different things.
Big
difference in the areas that you might want to focus your time and effort. If it's an early archery tag versus a late archery tag, those are two different things. Like, you're hunting two different areas in a lot of cases, right? Same with an early rifle or a late rifle tag. So I think that's it's a good distinction. And I think that's just like another one of those, you know, pieces of the puzzle. Like, to me, that's like second nature. You know what I mean? If I draw a third season rifle tag in Colorado, I know what I'm looking for in terms of habitat, where I'm likely to find them.
Right.
You know, I think it's like second nature, but for somebody that may not be familiar with Western big game hunting, they may think, I don't know, this area looks like it'd hold deer. Well, it also is going to hold 8 feet of snow the time of the year that you have that permit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, I mean, it's good. It's good to have somebody to like bounce ideas off of. But
yeah, it's been a good experience so far, even from my side. It's been a lot of work, but just the people are pretty damn cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you get everybody. I mean, there's a guy down in deep Texas.
I was just going to ask.
Yeah, his accent.
I was going to say, you definitely have some members from Texas and Oklahoma.
Our conversations are awesome just because I keep going back to John Wayne movies when I talk to him. And yeah, it's great.
So, are those your longest conversations?
Oh, yeah.
Texans, Oklahomans.
Yeah,
they love to tell hunting stories.
Oh, they're great dudes.
Yeah.
Everybody's been pretty damn awesome. So, all walks of life. Age ranges from early 20s to in their 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's pretty spread out all across the board. So,
it's probably a good way to, like, if you want to get your kids involved in hunting, it's probably a great way to do that, because I mean, a lot of us, myself included, I'm managing my applications for myself, but also my kids. A lot of these states have obviously different opportunities for youth that I may not be aware of unless I really dive in and start to research it. Age ranges, right?
Yeah. Because with the Insider, your immediate Insider Plus, your immediate family is a part of that. Mm-hmm. So if you're getting in, get your kids in.
Yeah.
There's definitely a couple states where it's extremely worth it. One, for the tags they'll have when they get old enough.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it costs nothing.
Yeah, relatively nothing in comparison to what we're paying.
I get pissed off every time I see it because I'm thinking to myself, why did my dad do this?
I know.
Jesus.
It's crazy that I can have kids that are, you know, youth hunting age, and I'm always like looking for youth opportunities and I'm thinking about it. But then you have, you know, a state like Colorado where your second draw, you have 100% youth preference.
Yeah.
I curse that every year.
Yeah.
I cursed it last night. I was talking to my buddy. I'm like, that damn youth preference in Colorado, every year it comes up and it pisses me off. And I say that with in jest. I think it's great, but I'm like, archery tags even? Come on now. Yeah. But it is good. My oldest kid, I was talking to him the other day, and I've been buying him points or applying him in pretty much all the Western states since he was 12 and got hunter's ed, maybe even 10, I guess, state like Arizona. But yeah, I was like, hey, when are we going hunting, you know? Because, like, every year I'm ponying up a bunch of cash.
Yeah.
We're building a bunch of points here. I mean, you've got, what, 9, I guess, pretty much? 10, maybe, in some cases. Yeah, I told him, I'm like, look, we need to start plucking some of these off here. I'm just going to end up piggybacking your points. But we got to start getting after it. But, yeah, I would think that would be a big benefit of being a member.
Yeah.
You know, if you got kids, you want to get them involved in hunting.
Yeah, and some of the states have some really good youth tags, really good youth opportunities. Well, one of the guys, they came out with a pile of points. He drew a Wyoming antelope. He drew an Idaho antelope. His daughter drew her first antelope tag in Idaho.
That's cool.
Drew a youth tag. And, God, he was pumped about that. Yeah, I was pumped about it.
For sure.
That's freaking awesome. Mm-hmm.
Is that your favorite part of the job?
So far, yeah.
Do you like the job?
I do.
Do you like it?
Yeah. It takes a lot. It's a lot. But dealing with the people, like I said, they're all in it because they like it, for mm-hmm. one. You can't really have a bad conversation about hunting. Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, you never, it's never a bad conversation when you're planning for next year. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? I mean, the results are the results. I mean, even I have a down day when my results come out, mm-hmm. you know, happens every year. But when they draw, it's pretty freaking rad.
Yeah. So, the best part, you have to come. So, yeah. I mean, you've drawn some permits, you've helped people.
Yeah.
They draw, and then the very best part,
when they send me some pictures.
When they send you, some pictures mm-hmm. from the field. That's always my favorite.
Then you get invited to their weddings and family gatherings later on, and helping them.
It was interesting enough. You do get some invites, and they're tempting. But where do I find the? Yeah, like I can't find the time to do it. Like, yeah, I'd love to go down there and kill some shit, but fuck.
Yeah,
gotta work.
Yeah.
Then hunting season.
It is a lot of work.
It is.
Yeah. But that's cool. Yeah. Anything else about Insider Plus you think people should know? I mean, we're still signing up new members.
New members are still signing up.
What's the cost?
If you're a current insider, it'll be prorated on when your annual renewal comes up. So it could be anywhere from $350 to $499. If you're brand new, it's $4.99. I think we're still today or tomorrow's last day for we're running a deal. Get $100 back in the gear shop mm-hmm. for Insider Plus. And then if you want some help with e-scouting, or maybe I've got some guys that are going to sign up here in November because they really want to do it for next year. But if you want some e-scouting help this year and want to either discuss applications, want me to do your applications, whatever, you can call me up, shoot me an email, nate@gohunt.com. We can talk about it before you decide. I'll give you my honest thoughts, and move forward from there. If it's something for you, I had one guy, that wanted to do it, or he thought he wanted to do it. And man, it sounded like Insider was his thing, not Insider Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not see any benefit. And I was just straight up honest with him. And I'm like, dude, I think this is what you really are looking for. And he was gracious of that, obviously, because it wasn't, you know, $4.99. Mm-hmm. But so yeah, we'll talk about it. If you got any questions, hit me up. We'll discuss it. See if it's what you're looking for, how I can help, how we can help, and go from there. So still plenty of time left.
I still think it's really valuable to jump in and do an Insider Plus membership right now. We talked about earlier how all the draws are all pretty much done and over with. Mm-hmm. Right? People do have tags in the pocket. But like you just said, even if you already have your tag and so you didn't get to use the service for this year's draw, you can always sign up now, start talking to you, communicating, figure out everything works, do some e-scouting with some of the tags you have, and then get prepped for next year.
Yeah, it's not like you got to sign up again before 2026. It runs just like a normal insider, so it's all annually based. So, I mean, if you signed up now, you're good for a year from now, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we can do next year stuff too. So, yeah, it's a benefit regardless. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter if you want to jump in now, jump in now.
Jump in now. That way you're one step closer to adding more little tools to your toolkit to have success in 2025 if 100%. You already have a tag. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Earlier, the better, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The more you can jump in and learn and kick around ideas. I mean, sounds insane because it's not really even July yet, but it won't be that long before you have Idaho.
Yeah.
OTC, what has been general season, essentially going to a draw. I mean, possibly late November, early December.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'll pop up on you pretty quick. I know it does me every year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say start early.
Start early. Start researching those hunts.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get, I mean, yeah, obviously you get access. You do all the states that we cover, right? You'll apply people for any species.
And some that we don't. There's a couple east.
Maine.
I actually did one. We don't offer that, but I did it because he asked for it. Sure. And it was super easy. So yeah. I'm like, yeah, sure. Okay. Virginia, Kentucky, some of the East Coasters, they always put in for it.
Have you applied to anybody in South Carolina for alligator?
I didn't. Somebody asked me about something in Florida. I think it was a gator in Florida. I'm like, dude, I'd love to. I just don't know a thing about alligators.
Yeah. So you're bringing up a sore subject right now. So this is why, okay, I think this is a very valuable service. So obviously we're out in the West, and I feel like I know a lot about Western draw system. Been hunting out here forever. I don't know anything about Eastern stuff,
yeah,
for the most part. But I have been buying gator points. I told you that before.
Mm-hmm.
I missed Florida's gator point purchase period.
Oh, you didn't lose them, did you?
I'm not sure about that. So here we were later that week.
He's like, oh shit!
I think I missed Iowa.
Yeah, you probably did.
When was that?
I told you about it.
When was that? Like
June's.
Yeah,
June 2nd,
not that
June
3rd? Long ago. Yeah. I totally did. Damn.
So like even we're so much in the know about things about draw systems. I was literally landed in Florida. I was like, I want to find a gator. I've never seen a Florida gator, and I finally saw my first Florida gator. And then I was like, oh, I need to buy my gator point. Fuck. So I pulled it up on my phone as we were driving. My girlfriend was driving and realized I missed the deadline.
Yeah.
So like,
it happens to us too.
Yeah. And so like, that's why though, like, you know, I don't miss Western deadlines, but I miss Eastern. So the person who's from the East Coast, they might not miss anything over there, but this stuff over here is so much disconnected from their daily life that they, you know, forget about it. They have busy work schedules. Everyone has a life, everyone has family and all that stuff. So it's like, it's really easy to miss a deadline where if you have a service like this, you ain't going to miss a deadline.
Yep.
Like I really want to go shoot a gator badly. And now I'm really pissed that I missed by a point. Like
I've got
very upset.
I've got deadlines like plastered all over the place. Yeah. So we don't miss deadlines.
Yeah. Probably have some heavy days leading up to it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tip. The biggest one was Colorado.
Mm-hmm. All species.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a big one.
Nevada ran down to the wire too.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just with people that signed up that day. Mm-hmm. And Nevada is one of those states where if you're brand new.
Oh, it's hard, brand
email
new.
Email the Hunter Ed card in, make sure it gets approved, then you have access. We ran that to like 10 p.m.
Yeah, the nature of applying in Nevada, even though I think their system is superior to most other application sites, mm-hmm. states, it's hard to apply there in any timely manner because you have 5 choices per species.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I do this because the difference between, in most cases for me as a non-resident, for elk, for example, the difference in my odds from my first choice to my fifth choice might only be like 1%.
Yeah.
But I'll spend an hour kicking around ideas, you know, going back and looking through odds, but it does take a long time.
The good thing is with that one is at least you can get it submitted.
Yeah.
And then you can play like,
sure.
My dad is the worst, right? He'll go submit the worst application on the planet, you know, incorrect orders of things and just absolutely ridiculous. So I'll go through and spend time and rearrange this, rearrange that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. But I tell you the worst one, Arizona.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Having to do a new thing every single time.
Go out,
they don't have a shopping
in.
Cart. I yep. mean, can't just keep adding things. Yeah.
And then every time you have to include your
social security number,
social security, are you a citizen? Yes, I'm still a citizen. And yep. I'm still a non-resident.
Yeah.
You have to go through it time and time again. Yeah. It is a pain,
but
I can't believe you missed buying an Iowa point.
Yeah, I did. Totally did. I wouldn't have even probably thought about it until you brought it up.
Do you know I'm a max point holder there.
Yeah.
Proudly max point holder. I could draw anything. I just don't know when I can fit in my schedule.
I'm going to take your points.
You probably should.
Yeah. Well, cool. Anything else you want to talk about? We ran that one to 87 minutes. I was kind of surprised we got hot and heavy on public lands.
Yeah, because it's important.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
You don't have public lands. You don't have applications. You don't have hunting.
Yeah,
so.
I was going to say.
Yeah, that's it.
What's the point?
Well, cool.
They'll open up like 2 or 3 tags for national parks if they do.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Go hunt Yosemite.
Yeah. I guess my final plea. So contact your senators again. Send emails. Do what you can when you can.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Yep. And that's probably it for me for the day.
How's our deer looking in Wyoming?
They look really good.
See, you almost forgot about the main
important
thing. You guys were talking about elk all last week, and now we got Nate here from Wyoming, and I can't
even
ask him.
How's the elk herd up there doing?
Same as they've been.
Amazing.
Everywhere, yeah.
Like carp.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Love that.
Do you though?
You know what I've noticed a big difference this year is the antelope.
Yeah, they bounce back.
Not just the numbers, but God, they look good for some reason. Like where I'm at, you have your average buck at best.
Mm-hmm.
But damn, I've in the last couple of weeks, even just driving back and forth between town, I mean, I've seen a few that made me go, holy shit.
Yeah.
Good for you, bud.
That's awesome.
So everything looks real good, which is good. So it'll be a good year.
Wished I had a tag.
Well, you got one. Well, not an antelope.
I got one. Yeah, I got an elk tag, but I don't have I don't have an antelope tag or a deer tag. I'm just sitting on points.
Yeah, I decided
maybe next year
to hold out because of what I got.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of what you got.
Next year, though.
Probably smart.
Soon, though.
Yeah, next year should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I have to start burning some of those.
Yeah. Burn them if you got them.
Yep. All right. Well, we appreciate you, Nate.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for popping in to Vegas.
You bet.
And that's it for me for the week.
All right. Yep. I'm good this time.
Okay. Peace.
Go Wyoming, dear.
Go Wyoming, Cowboys.